everyone. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, very good morning to you. Today is the second Sunday that we are back physically to church. Aren't we very happy, you know, looking at one another, beautiful place, faces and all this. Why don't you tell your neighbor left and right and say, Jesus loves me and I love you too. Make a bit of noise, it's too quiet. Yeah, praise the Lord. And you too in the online service, tell your family members as well. Okay. Wow, I'm so privileged to, you know, to preach today and share a bit of my life and on this series. Okay, so what we are now in this new series called One More. There is a tendency for every one of us to want more. Who doesn't want more? You know, having one house is not enough. Having one pair of shoes, not enough, you know. Having one car, not enough, you know. And you can add on to the list. For me, if there is a sale, talking about shopping again, if there is a sale, buy one, free two, wow, guess who? I will be in the line, okay? I will go for it, and the more, the better. Can you still remember where our mothers, you know, like to buy those toilet papers, you know? And when MCO hits, guess what was the fastest item sold out from the supermarket? Yes, it's toilet paper, you know, it's still remain a mystery to me, okay? But having, you know, this toilet paper mystery is not the reason why I'm sharing or why we have this new series. One More is a new series on finance, and the goal is to help all of us to have a biblical perspective, how to handle money and riches in the right way so that our hearts can focus on the right thing and this can save us from all troubles and, you know, regrets. Now, next, 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 says this, do not love the world, all the things in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. These are the ways of the world, wanting to please our sinful self, wanting the sinful things we see, and being too proud of what we have. None of these come from the Father, but all of them come from the world. And the world and everything that people want in it are passing away, but the person who does what God wants live forever. You know, all the things that we want, just now we say we want shoes, we want whatever, you know. All we want in this world, the things that we can see and desire, like clothes, cars, condominiums, will pass away eventually. But there's only one thing that will last, that will not pass away. That is, the person who does what God wants will live forever. And because of that, we have to make the right choice today. We have to make the right choice where to put our hope and our confidence. Do you want to exist just to chase after material wealth? Or do you just, you know, want to live a life trusting God every day of your life? Of course, all of us want to live good life, right? We want to, you know, live a good life. We want to feel good. We want to eat good, you know. But there is a better life than just living a good life. That life is the life with God. And this series, One More, have three parts. The first part, last week, Brother Casey has kickstarted the series by sharing love God and not money. He shared contentment is the key. Contentment is the way of how, you know, how we should love God and not money. Because we cannot love God and money at the same time. So yes, we need to keep pursuing God and not money. So today, I will continue this series by sharing confidence in God. Question here. Where are you putting your confidence in today? We need to reflect this truthfully ourselves, you know, as our answer will determine our destiny and the kind of life that we live. Now, today, if your answer is yes, I place my confidence, you know, in the things of the world. Wow, I place my confidence in share market, in my job, in whatever things that I'm doing, potentially, we will end up unstable and unsettled. We can be so restless and tired chasing after material things. It's like chasing after the wind. Can you chase after the wind or not? No, okay. So what happened? Life can be so miserable. But there is another way. If you choose to put and place your confidence in God, let me tell you, then the life that you live will be like the Zoe life of God, you know, the God quality of life, the life that you really enjoy to the fullest. Even with little, with a lot, you are still very contented. You are still satisfied. That is the life that we want to talk about. So today, the big question that we will tackle today is this. Has money or riches become the source of your confidence? How do we keep our focus on God and be confident in Him every day of our life? Now, if your answer is yes, money has become the source of my confidence, then we will need to pursue and get more and more money, because we have more money, then we will be more secure, more confident in life, right? And life will be like that. Once you achieve a certain goal in life, and then you say, okay, I'm going to achieve another level, and it is like a never-ending kind of a cycle, you know. So think for a moment, is this the life that you want to live, okay? Or is there another way to live among, you know, with your riches and wealth? So today we're going to find out, okay? So next, this is our key verse today. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says this, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, you are always interested in every areas of our lives, especially in the areas of finance. So today, O God, I pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts, O God, so that we will understand and comprehend, O God, Lord, your will for us, O God, on how to handle our money and riches and possessions, O God, according to your way and according to your will. I ask that you will bless every hearers and doers of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, praise God. Now, starting now, the book of 1 Timothy is one of the three pastoral epistles written by our Apostle Paul to Timothy as he is pastoring the church in Ephesus. It is as if Paul is talking to you and me. Just imagine, okay? Paul is talking to you and me who are in this local church, Every Nation Church Penang, to give us his instructions, what we ought to do to live a secure life with Christ. Now, if you read 1 Timothy, the whole book, it contains instructions for everyone, the young people, the working people, the married people, and the rich people. Now, this is a slide talking about, you know, how stressful we can, you know, with money. Whether we like it or not, money is everybody's mind today. Even you're sitting here, you know, you may be thinking about, you know, how much money I have in the bank, or, you know, how much I'll get, you know, at the end of the month. Okay? So, in fact, people live in much anxiety thinking about money. They are always on this stress mode, trying to cope with not enough and wanting more. At every stage of life, money has occupied our thoughts somehow. As a student, I see some students here, right? So as a student, you know, you want to get a good education and you want to choose, what course should I take? You know, make sure, you know, when I finish my degree or my diploma, I have a job waiting for me. And this happened to me when we were deciding which course to do for our second son. So actuarial science is one of our consideration, but thank God it never materialized, okay? So, and you know what I mean, actuarial science, if you're involved, you got tons of money, okay? So as working adult, we will choose jobs that will give us potential, you know, potential career advancement. You know, we will choose those jobs that will help us climb up the ladder of success. And we normally, during working adult, you know, when you just started work, you will be considering to buy your first house and all these things. So as a working parent, we will explore savings and some, you know, investment plans for our children, because we want to save a bit of money for our children. And as a retiring employee, or going to like you know, my age, okay, going to retire already. So we'll be thinking about what? Retirement plans and getting out of any financial commitment, like housing loan, car loan, and all these things. So as a retired person, you know, those who have retired already, we will be thinking about savings, whether our savings are enough to handle our future expenses like medical care or whatnot. So in whatever stage we are, we cannot avoid the topic of money as it affects us in one way or another. In fact, in the Bible, money is mentioned many, many, many times, okay? 16 out of 38 parables of Jesus deal with money and possession, almost 50%. And 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospels deals with money. And there are more than 2,000 scriptures on money, possessions in the Bible, which is twice as many as faith and prayer combined. So money is important. So today we are going to tackle this. So our main text again, back to this. This verse is a very clear, direct instruction for us, every one of us. It tells us what not to do and what to do. In fact, if you look at it, there are two don'ts and one do, which we are going to study together. To make it clear, God is not against us being rich and successful in life, because in fact, in the Bible, there were so many rich people in the Old Testament as well. Abraham, you know, Isaac, Joseph, David, and King Solomon, they are all rich. So, you can be rich all you can, okay? I'm not stopping you. God is not stopping you. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Riches is not the real problem, okay? But putting our trust and confidence in them is. So how do we put our confidence in God? Three things from this verse. The first point is, don't be proud. Now, when our children is small, you know, we always teach them, hey, don't be proud, okay? So this is also same with us. God is telling us, don't be proud. In verse 17 say, charge them not to be haughty. Again, there's nothing wrong with having money, you know. You don't have to feel guilty or even condemned being rich or having money. But you have to be beware of the danger, because having money can make us proud. And money can affect our attitude in life. The more money we accumulate, the more we will become proud, because we have the wrong perception that the more money we have, the more secure we'll be. What is being proud means? You know, being proud simply means, just remember this, full of oneself. All talking about self only. The three unholy trinity, okay? That is me, myself, and I. If you are talking to your friends or any of people around you, if they keep talking about me, myself, and I, you know already. That is an indication. Wow, he has a bit of pride, you know? So being proud is that. The Bible tells us that there are a few things that God hates, and pride is at the top of the list. Look at this. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19 says this. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. Okay, proud, huh? A lying tongue, a hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breath out lies, and one who sow discord among brothers. So pride is the top of the list that God hates, okay? So haughtiness is when you look at others with contempt. You look at, you know, your neighbor and your, you know, with your eyes and your nose up in the air, and you say this to yourself. You look at me, lah, you know, you listen to me, I'm better than you, you know, I am so and so, I'm Tan Sri or whatever, I'm so and so, and everything you do and say is always point to self. So check yourself. Sometimes I also check myself, you know, my husband, my daughter, they all can say, hey, what you always say about you, you know, and then I say, oh, yeah, sorry God, I'm so proud. So, you know, this is the checklist, you know, sometimes is to guide us whether we are proud or not. And to tell you, you know, I want to share with you a story from the Bible about a king who became so proud, and let's see what happened to him. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar. Wow, he's a great king in Babylon, right? So look at him, what happened to him. And verse 28, he says in Daniel chapter 4, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. You know, you can imagine how he walked, you know, but I'm not king. So I think he'll do like that, you know. He'll be like, I don't know how you do it. So he's parading, you know, he's parading at the roof of the royal palace. And I'm sure it's a very high kind of position, the palace is, where he can see everything, you know, below. And he was parading, very proud. And the king said this, it's not this great Babylon I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty. Wow, so many I, me, myself. Okay? So definitely there is so much pride here. And you see, verse 31, immediately you see, while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. God is speaking to him. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. What does it mean? You no longer stay in a palace, you know. You will no longer stay in comfort, but you will be staying, what? In the field. And what happened? And first of all, he said, you shall make to eat grass like an ox. Wow. I cannot imagine myself eating grass, okay? But there are, I really cannot. So God, I don't want to be so proud, okay? So, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will. This king was so wealthy, he became proud as he meditated and he see his kingdom and his glory being displayed. He drew all attention to himself because he keeps saying, it's my, it's me, it's I, you know. So this is at the end, you know, the moment he boasts about himself, he became like an animal, senseless. He became senseless and he ate grass. So this is a warning for us not to be proud, not to think highly about yourself because of your skill or achievement or status in life. There's nothing for us to boast about, okay? So guard your heart against pride. The more you promote yourself, the greater will be the fall. Moses also gave this warning to the Israelites as they were about to enter the promised land. He said this in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 to 18. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. So Deuteronomy 8, keep repeating this word, remember, don't forget, remember, don't forget, because we always tend to forget. We need constant reminder that God is the one who gives us the power to create wealth, to get wealth. So remember to remember God. He is the one who blesses us with our material wealth. So we used to ask God to bless us in our finance, right? So in our prayer, we will say this, God, please give me that promotion, give me that business deal, prosper me, and so on and so forth. But after we are blessed, what happened? We walk away. We walk away from God and we forgotten what God has given us. So may we all be reminded that He is God and we should bless God in whatever things that, you know, He has blessed us with. So remember, God is the source of our income and riches. There is another king which is so opposite of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is King David. So King David is so opposite of King Nebuchadnezzar. He say this, you know, he poured out such a great offering from his wealth to prepare for the building of the temple for God. In all his riches, this is what he say in the presence of the people, he remembered God. He said this in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Indirectly, he is telling the people that it is not him that have accumulated and have all this wealth because of he is known or he is very good king or whatever. It is because of God. God has put him in a place of honor. God has given him all the riches. So he's returning it back to God. And King David say, he say in Psalms, he say that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will trust in the name of our Lord. So in the Bible, you know, during the time, the chariots and horses are really a sign of wealth and position, high position. And the more you have it, the wealthier you will be. It's like today's, you know, context is like Ferrari, Lamborghini, whatever, Lamborghini or whatever. In our age, the more you have it, the more success you will be. But King David nevertheless did not despise God. He remembered God and he put his trust in him alone. And as for me, I've learned some ways of how to stay humble, you know, by detaching myself from the things that I have or own. When I just give you a simple illustration, when I change my car, this is what I do when somebody notice, okay, if nobody notice, I won't say, okay. When somebody notice, wow, you change your car, you know, it's a nice car. So I will quickly distract or draw their attention off from me by saying, oh yes, this car is very new, wow, very nice, very nice. But it belongs to the bank, okay? So I have nothing to brag about, you know, really, you know. So, and one of my business friend did teach me, you know. He said that if you buy a new wash, brand new one, expensive one, you know what you should do? No need to tell the people that you bought a new wash. You just show your wash and say, what time is it? What time is it? So this is just, I mean, this is just sharing what people will do, you know. They want to stay humble, but at the same time, they still want to show off. So I said, no, I won't do that, you know, if I buy the whatever wash or whatever thing. So it's just a joke. So, okay, next. The first point is don't be proud. Don't ever be proud. If you're rich, you're almost rich, you know. Don't say, okay, when I reach, then only I do that. Before I reach, I can be a bit proud. No. Say, at any point of your stage of your life, stay humble, okay? The second point is don't put your hope on riches. You know why? Now, this is a very important point. Do not set your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Riches and wealth are so uncertain. You know why? Because it's here today and gone tomorrow. Look at the world today. Because of COVID-19, a lot of businesses were affected. You know, share market is not doing well. Business closed and many unemployed. So nothing is certain and nothing is permanent in this life. Even today, I do business. I have many projects or whatever. Tomorrow, I can lose all. You know, this is what it is going to be. It's a fact of life. So never put your hope in the uncertainty of riches. And riches may seem to offer great security. Wow. Of course, if you have money, you can buy things, right? With money, if no money, how to buy? So, you know, it may offer great security, but it is only an illusion. It's really an illusion. So all the time, when we, you know, all that we have acquired can just vanish in a very short time. So what can we say about riches? Riches don't bring us security. In fact, if you go to this rich man area, you know where? Rich man area, Jesselton, okay. If you look at Jesselton, their walls and gates are so big and tall, you know, because they are not secure. They think that the thief will, you know, break in and come and rob them, you know. So if we place our security in our wealth, we will be so miserable. So the Bible warns us against putting trust in money because it is truly false hope. So Proverbs 11 verse 28 says this, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green tree, a green leaf, okay? Proverbs 23 verse 5 says it, cast but a glance at riches. You know, you just look at it, you know, and they are gone. Wow, so fast, you know, you just cast a glance and then it disappeared. For they will certainly sprout wings and fly off like an eagle, okay? Now, Paul also says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 7 says this, we enter this world with nothing and we will leave it with nothing. So this is so true. All of us are from the dust and to dust we will return. We can never bring along our riches, our investment, our businesses when we leave this world. Okay? So there is no guarantee in riches and wealth. There is a parable which Jesus shared in Luke 12. He says about this. It's talking about the life of a rich fool, okay? I think some of you know this. Verse 16 says this, Luke 12, verse 16. And he told them this parable. Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Now, we praise God if we have a good jobs and businesses. And verse 17, he says, he asked himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Good question, okay? So, verse 18 says, then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Verse 19, he said that, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who store up things for himself but is not rich toward God. So you still want more? You know? Ask yourself this question. Jesus showed us in this scripture that we can potentially be like this man, you know? He started off with, yes, he is a rich man. But at the end, he turns out to be a rich fool. A rich man to a rich fool. Because he chose to lay up his treasure for himself and not reach towards God. Okay? So, the security of his wealth has blinded him from his need to trust God. Whether you have much or have little money should not be your security. Our wealth are very much like our life. It's just like a vapor, you know. It could be here one moment and gone the next. To put our trust in something so uncertain is foolish. Okay? Don't be like that. Rich fool. Now, we know that we can not put our confidence in riches because it can affect our attitude and is also uncertain. We come to our last point. Do put your hope on God. In verse 17, he says, put your hope on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now, ultimately, for us to put our confidence in God, we have to know who this God is. Who are we serving? I mean, who is God? We need to build our relationship and grow our relationship with Jesus. The more we know him, the more we'll be confident in him. And this verse tells us that we can put our hope in God because God is two things only. Because God is rich, because God is our provider. We can put our confidence in God because of one of the reasons is, God owns everything. Wow. Isn't it good to know that our God owns anything and everything in this world? Our God is not poor, you know. Our God can richly provide us because he owns everything. The earth is the Lord's, okay, and everything in it. And if he owns everything, God is able and more than able to provide for us. And I know that whatever money or possession that I have from him comes from him. And I thank God that he can entrust me. I'm not the owner. I'm just a manager. I'm just a steward. So I praise God that, you know, God, if you can entrust me with your riches, you know, with whatever thing, I will manage it well for you. This is my attitude in life. Okay? So two things. And because God owns everything. Another one is God is a good father. Wow. This is a very important illustration where you know, as when you know that God is a good father, it will trigger you these few things because a good father will give good things to his children. You know, he gives good things. Romans 8:32 say, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how he will not also with him graciously give us all things. Well, the greatest gift that God has given you is his son, Jesus Christ. You know, he sent Jesus to die for our sins. And those who, you know, believe in him, they will have eternal life. You know, if God has given us the greatest gift, will he hold back our daily bread? Will he hold back our needs? Will he hold back you know, jobs from us, or will he fail to provide anything else that we need for? I'm convinced that God gives, and he will continue to give. Now, besides, you know, a good father also cares for us. In Matthew 6, 25, 26, he says about the value of our life, you know, he asks, Jesus said, do not be anxious about your life, you know, what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will wear. Because a life is more than that. Look at the birds. They neither sow or reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? So today I want to tell you that really God cares for you. I have learned throughout this pandemic to trust God and hang on to his word. Do not be anxious. As I'm running a business, of course there are many challenges and demands. You know, I've learned to trust God and keep on practicing this. Do not be anxious on a daily basis. When I lack the resources, I lack staff, or I lack whatever things that I need, God always supply. God always provides us with good clients, with good staff, and he always gives me wisdom. So I realized that the moment I recognize God as my CEO, you know, people call me boss, but I always say, no, I'm not the boss, there is a CEO, somebody higher than me, you know. So for me, as a personal individual, the moment I recognize God as my CEO, I feel less burdened. I don't feel the burden of running a company on my shoulder. But I say, God, you are my CEO. So if I don't have business, you, I trust you, okay? But of course, I work hard, okay? But I trust you that you provide for me and the staff and the company, you know? So I've learned also that the more control I give to God, the results is so much better. So may I encourage you, you know, to give God the control, to recognize him as the Lord of your life. And the next one, and also God moved. I mean, God is compassionate. He feed the 4,000, you know, and there were leftovers. So God is more than enough. Like just now we sing the worship song, we say God is more than enough. He always gives us the leftover. I mean, more than enough, you know, leftovers. So look at it. God will never give us enough. He will give us more than enough. And next, this is the last one. One sure thing about God is he will never change. In Psalms 37, verse 25, he said it, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. This could potentially be in my tombstone. You know, of how God has provided for me and my family all this while. No lack in food supply. Yeah, because God cares for my stomach, right? So no lack in my food supply and other areas, of course. So as I am, you know, what is confidence in God? Confidence is in God is putting your whole hope, your whole absolute hope in God alone. It is about anchoring and rooting your life based on what God says in his word, in this Bible. And at the same time, no longer turning to things of this world to provide us with the security in life. So remember this. Riches are so uncertain. It won't last. It doesn't satisfy. But our God is eternal. Our God will last forever. So we can put our finances in God's hand. And God will richly provide us with everything that we need. So friends, remember this, as you know, put your confidence in God. Don't be proud, don't put your hope in riches, and do put your hope and confidence in God. Now today, if you have been troubled and burdened by finances, may I encourage you to come to God this morning, ask him for his forgiveness. For making money your God or your confidence, and acknowledge God as the Lord of your finance, you know, acknowledge him as your provider, that from now on, God, you take over. God, I'll recognize you to be the source of my security. Let God take over. Commit all that you have and ask God to guide and lead you so that you continue to honor him with your finances. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, you know our fears, our concerns, about our future, about tomorrow, about our security. But today, Lord, we want to come to this place, oh God, throwing away, oh God, our concerns, throwing away, oh God, our fears, throwing, oh God, our wrong confidence, oh God, Lord, even in the things of the world, oh God, but we want to place it at the feet of Jesus. We declare with faith that you are the source of our security. God, you are a good, good Father. You give us good things, oh God. We will never lack anything, oh God, that is good, oh God. Everything that we need, oh God, Jehovah Jireh, you will supply all our needs. So Lord, remove our cares, remove our concerns today as we place our hope and trust in you. Lift it up, oh God, Lord. Lift up our burdens, oh God, today. As we invite you to come, oh God, into our lives, oh God, take over, take over. As we trust you and put our confidence in you more and more. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does what pleases God will live forever. So Lord, we will place our confidence in you today and forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hope you are blessed with this message. Thank you.